Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 16 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger, I want to touch on that MTN update. Sibanye Stillwater, a stock both Mia and I like. Below 50 bucks, opportunity, a worry, we'll find out. Gareth Stobey from CoreShares, what the 10x investment acquisition of CoreShares means for CoreShares clients. And Regin Corsi, Executive Director, First Source Money, why South Africa's debt management policy is an absolute mess. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from CNBC. China's economic data disappoints in April as COVID controls weigh on the economy. Retail sales down 11.1 in April. Expected had been 6.1. Industrial production down 2.9. It had been expected to be down 0.4. Business Day, MTN proves doubters wrong by notching up 5 million mobile money users. Cellular services giant continues to defy doubters about its decision to reboot its once failed payment business. Morning markets, US was green on Friday, NASDAQ up 2.4%, NASDAQ up 3.7%. Short version, volatility remains. Asia is green, but only just. Sydney up 0.2% and Tokyo up 0.25%. Commodities mixed, we had gold, $1,808. Brent, $109.84. Platinum, $928. Palladium, $1,958. Rand, 16.24. Top 40 opening call, about 400 points down. It's about 0.75%. That is 10 cent trades down, 1.1% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Kruger, Director at Kruger International. Mia, appreciate the early morning time. That MTN update coming through on Friday, the stock's been under a bit of pressure, although it still had a really good run. And that was a good update, I thought. I mean, it was strong all over the place. I mentioned there particularly their mobile money, which I was one of the doubters, but I am being proved solidly wrong.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, I think it was most people doubting this action, especially after, you know, they started this mobile money drive in 2012, 2013, and shut it down again in 2016. And I think people at that stage weren't really, haven't really bought into this whole sort of fintech, the ease and the use of cell phone banking as much yet as they've done now. And the company has started this drive again in the start of 2020. In 4 months, they ramped up their users to over 1 million, and it just escalated from there to the over 5 million that we see today. So, I mean, this is only a patch of the users. Of course, they operate in over 19 markets, which all have different banking jurisdictions and regulations and rules and taxes, etc. So it is quite a large area for them to navigate, but it has a big, big potential for a company like MTN.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I take your point. I think many of us were not massively convinced. What about Sibanye Stillwater? This is a stock that I know you like. It's a stock that I hold in my PA account. It's had a rough time of it. It's now back down under 50 rand a share, which truthfully takes it back to, well, sort of just ahead of the pandemic starting. Is this a worry? Is this an opportunity?
Well, I think, you know, Simon, when you consider the big swings we've seen in the mining stocks, all of them really lately, it has been over-exaggerated. Mm. When you think about the fundamentals, just to start thinking about whether this is an opportunity, and you look at PGMs, you look at the amount of capex that all companies in the world have actually put into these operations over the last couple of years. If you read the quarterly reports and you read what capex these companies are planning, there aren't a lot of money going into this area that will deliver enough metals in that. That's not only in the PGM space, that's really in the battery space as well. So we expect a shortfall in this area in terms of supply and demand. We expect more demand than the supply would be able to deliver in the next couple of years. And it's already something we've been seeing now this year since the war's broken out in the Ukraine, and it's already exaggerated the situation. We've seen, we've seen metal prices rise significantly, and these companies have been extremely volatile for various reasons, especially South African companies. Volatility driven to a large extent with the operations locally. We've had a very long and unsuccessful strike at Sibanye-Stillwater at the gold operations. It's been more detrimental, really, to the miners than to anyone else. Of course, to the sentiment around the company too. But I think if you look at the metrics, you look at the strong cash flow that this company already has, you look at where and which areas they're diversifying into, this really does look like one of the cheapest mining companies out there, with some of the strongest fundamentals to drive them into the future. I'd be holding on to this one.
I am holding on to it. And of course, I take your point. Firstly, the longer-term picture. But actually, the other point is, I quote some prices there, but actually, we've had some really, really strong dividends coming out as well from Sibanye. I mean, and that's not unimportant, although we often ignore it when we look at a price chart.
That's very important. You know, when you think of the fact that today you are buying this company at a dividend yield of over 10%, that means that in less than 10 years, if you consider the dividend growth rate, you'll probably be getting back all the capital you're putting into this investment just by ignoring the share price and receiving the dividend from the strong cash flows that they have, probably in the next 7 years. So you'll receive all your capital back in the next 7 years, and then from there, basically, you'll just be gaining whatever you receive. So I don't think the risk for buying into this company is as large as the compensation you'll be receiving for holding it.
Yeah, a quick bit of back of the matchbox. I think we received R8 in dividends from Sibanye from February 2021. It has been absolutely massive. We'll leave that there. Thank you, Maya Kruger, Kruger International. A poll today, chatting with Mia there, that strong MTN trading update. Is MTN a stock you like and hold? Perhaps you're preferring Vodacom? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Gareth Stobey, Managing Director at CoreShares. Late Thursday afternoon, an announcement that 10X Investments would be acquiring CoreShares. Gareth, appreciate the early morning time. A big deal, I think, in our industry, specific, particularly in the passive and low-cost space. A lot of your clients have contacted me in the sort of Thursday afternoon, Friday, bunch of questions. The first one everyone's asking, any changes to the CoreShares product offering, or does the current offering kind of stay as is?
Morning, Simon. So the short answer is that there's going to be no changes in the short term. We're busy working through a process at the moment with 10X to look at our combined product set and how to make them stronger and better. The reality is we've got, if we look at our ETF range, we've got a lot of products that have done really nicely, and we've got a loyal set of customers, and it's certainly not our intention to change anything on a wholesale basis. It'll be business as usual for the most part.
And you've got a couple of sort of niche products. When I say niche, I'm thinking your top 50 rather than the traditional top 40. You've got the pref shares as well. You've got some interesting property ones where you focus on yield as a metric for weighting. And is it even potentially to expand perhaps in time and look at some of those gaps and maybe add to product offerings?
That's exactly right. I think, if I look at this transaction through a client lens, it's going to afford us the opportunity to be more expansive with our product set, look at new opportunities, both in the ETF market and in the traditional CIS market. One thing the transactions allowed us to do is bulk up scale within our combined organization. So after this deal's happened, we're going to have $31 billion under management. And with that sort of scale, it allows us to be more expansive in our thinking and also hone in on particular client needs and invest in new areas of exploration, you know, the whole theme of ESG, for instance, all of the thematic type investing that one sees too. It'll give us much more scale and depth across the organization, and I think that'll be good for customers. Combined scale also helps us to reduce costs through time, and those are some of the key reasons for doing it.
And that scale's not unimportant, and you know, it gives you that critical mass. It gives you a base into which put new products into, and I would then also take it a step further and say it makes the new combined entity the largest independent in the passive low cost. Although Signia might slightly disagree with that, and certainly we can debate that point, but it does make you a significant in terms of size.
That's right. I mean, if you look at the passive space globally, gathering scale and being a market leader, you don't necessarily have to be the biggest, but you need to be right up there. Is important because it is a, from an issuer's perspective or from an asset management perspective, it's a key ingredient to success in making our business sustainable over the longer term. If I look at it from a client's point of view, the larger the asset manager is, the more scale we have to, invest in service and in our technology platform, as I've already mentioned, new product. And so forth. So, it is a critical aspect to passive to winning within this market. I mean, bearing in mind that the margins we charge or the fees that we charge are significantly lower than our active peer group, and it's one of the core value propositions. And that's why one needs to do it.
Yeah, and I take a point. I mean, I'm thinking Vanguard, I'm thinking BlackRock in the US, two giants in the industry who are able, by their size, to offer total expense ratios that are fractions of a percent. One question I got asked a heck of a lot, email, Twitter, everywhere else. Outfest, which is owned by OutSurance, you provide the product into that. Will there be any change to that relationship? Because a number of people really like the Outfest product, particularly their low-cost RA.
CoreShares has walked quite a journey with OutSurance, both OutSurance Holdings, who was one of our shareholders before this transaction, and the development of Outfest too. So certainly in the foreseeable future, we're going to continue to support that product set. It's a brilliant platform that OutSurance has built, and we're going to be supporting the product range and running the underlying portfolios for them.
Last question, two parts to it. Will there be perhaps some brand changes in time for the CoreShares product as they move perhaps under 10x branding? And is there a timeline for when the deal will conclude?
So from a brand perspective, the longer term plan is to migrate to the 10x brand. I think they've done a wonderful job in terms of building up a consumer brand, and they're well liked in the retail market. In terms of the timing of the transaction, everything's out of the way other than the regulatory step, which is obviously an important one. And we're expecting to hear back from the regulators soon. So we expect over the next few weeks or so.
Okay, so a couple of weeks perhaps, maybe a couple of months with the regulators having some coffee breaks. Gareth Stobie, Managing Director, CoreShares, as always, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. also available on podcast.
Joining now with Rich Nkosi, Executive Director at First Source Money, looking at particularly why South Africa's debt management policy, and I quote from the article, is atrocious. Rich, appreciate the early morning time. You make the statement that neither debt nor growth, which are two of the issues which I think have been lamented most perhaps around our policies over the last decade, you say, truthfully, these are not South Africa's biggest problems.
Indeed, Simon, good morning. Debt and growth, which have been quite so much in the news recently, are said to be our problems. Mm-hmm. I argue, quite frankly, they're not. Those are not our problems. Our problems lie elsewhere. Firstly, debt and growth are mere outcomes of something behind them. That what is behind them is precisely what we should be thinking as problems, not debt and growth as outcomes.
I take your point on that. Debt and growth, we don't like them, but they're not what, you know, they're an outcome of something that's happening in the background. So what is that something that's happening that is driving these issues and therefore the actual sort of the root of the problem, so to speak?
Yeah, the root of the problem in this country, Simon, lies with the debt policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, often it is called debt management policy. All right? This debt management policy that we have in the country is one borrowed from the IMF and the World Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the IMF and the World Bank have got guidelines which they send to all countries around the world. Only those countries that cannot on their own put down their debt policies simply embrace these IMF World Bank guidelines. And recently in 2014, the G20 made some changes and asked the IMF and the World Bank to produce new guidelines from the previous ones which were introduced in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And then that did, of course, produce some and sent them all over the world. And so countries that cannot have capacity, or those cannot think, perhaps, if we were to use a better word,
mm-hmm.
just adopt without understanding precisely what these guidelines are all about. Those are the primary cause.
I take
now,
it's that cookie cutter. What the IMF is saying might work in some markets, but it's not going to work everywhere. And we should, I suppose, mould them into our own unique circumstances. If President Ramaphosa phoned you up later this morning and said, "Rich, I want you to come and be my finance minister," are there a few easy things you could do which would start to resolve the root problem and then ultimately our growth and debt issues?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, the first phrase is quite important. These are broad guidelines that they should be molded, you know, according to each country's specificities. But unfortunately, South Africa does not. South Africa takes the entire load and begins to implement without even understanding precisely the meaning of this. Now, the question that you're raising, how would I go about it? First and foremost, I would abolish debt policy. It's mm-hmm. inconsistent with any developing country. That's the very reason why Germany never used it. Japan never used it. The entire East Asia that we've come to know and admire recently never used it, including China. Has never been using such type of a debt policy. Right? Now, how does it work? It's essentially a market-based system where the government simply, you know, issues bonds, and the bonds are taken out there by about 12 or 13 companies and sold countrywide.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So the primary market dealers are the ones that source these bonds from government, and then they outsource them over to the entire country. This aspect of securitizing the bonds is highly unsafe for developing countries. They're subjected to all manner of activities that are inconsistent with the development priorities of a country. That would be perhaps the first item I would actually tell the president and indeed the Department of Finance, including the Reserve Bank, to abolish that.
Yep, and I get your point. And you start fixing that. And as you say, you know, we've got high debt, we've got low growth. They're not the problem, they're that outcome. I like that point. Let's start fixing it at that root point. Regent Corsi, Executive Director, First Source Money. Appreciate the time this morning. That's it for today. Our poll on Friday, we had chatted with Gary Boyson on Friday. We chatted with Henry Brookholm on Thursday. Henry talking Netflix, Gary talking Disney. The question we asked was, which do you prefer? About a quarter each opted for either Disney or Netflix. About a third of you said, actually, you'd like a bit of a both. With then the remainder, less than a fifth, saying, actually, you like neither. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website to the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. I've got Astro and Calgary M3.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.